Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and as we've been talking about now for quite a while, thousands of LGBTQ veterans who were kicked out of the military because of their sexuality could see their honor restored under a new initiative the Defense Department announced last month on the 12th anniversary of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And before the repeal, as you know, tens of thousands of LGBTQ service members were forced out of the military under honorable conditions that we've discussed, rather than with an honorable discharge. The news follows a nine-month CBS News investigation led by Chief Investigative Correspondent Jim Axelrod that unveiled the Pentagon's long-running failure to restore the honor to the service records of these vets who were deprived of benefits after the military service, including VA loan programs, college tuition assistance, health care, and other jobs. And Jim Axelrod has been gracious enough to come on the program several times for updates. Joins us now. Jim, how are you?
I'm fine, and I'm also feeling quite grateful to you, Randy. You know, our work, without the extra amplification of journalists like yourself, shows like yours, doesn't really get heard in the way that develops the critical mass that was required for the Pentagon to actually take these steps. So thank you for all of your help in amplifying our work.
Well, you know, it's our honor, of course, Jim. And, you know, you have stayed on this thing. I didn't realize it was 9 months until I saw that. But I mean, you know, you've interviewed all of these veterans. You've shined the big spotlight. I mean, you got to feel great about this, right?
Well, look, this is about them. I said it the day, you know, it's our, of course, our honor to be able to put a light on it. It's our responsibility. It's our obligation. This is not about the work CBS News did. This is about the tens of thousands of LGBTQ plus service members who were denied rights that they earned. And we could not get the Pentagon to sit down with us, to explain it, to talk to us. And the fact that finally we developed sort of a critical mass, not just of stories, but we're able to get people, as we started to poke around a little bit, to understand, hey, wait a minute, to hear what Lloyd Austin said in his statement. And I just want to share that with you.
Yes, yes.
To hear Lloyd Austin write, for decades, our LGBTQ plus service members were forced to hide or were prevented from serving altogether. Even still, they selflessly put themselves in harm's way for the good of our country and the American people. And this is the key, Randy. Unfortunately, too many of them were discharged from the military based on their sexual orientation. And for many, this left them without access to the benefits and services they earned. So the fact that he was able to acknowledge
that's huge.
The contributions, so everybody we talked to kept saying the same thing. They kept saying that they feel their suffering has never been acknowledged. Mm. And they wanted, you know, as I said that morning, people just want to be seen and they want to be heard. These folks gave, they served, and they were denied justice for years. And so to be able to do that, sure. I mean, it was satisfying to be able to help sort of the wrong be corrected, be righted. But the fact that these people's suffering was finally acknowledged and now there is a pathway towards the restoration of the benefits that they deserve, that's gratifying stuff.
And Jim, did the Department of Defense ever get back with you before they made this statement? Did you ever hear from them directly?
I mean, we had statements. We have, you know, these things are always tricky. It's highly political. And you know, there's lots of different, let's just say there's lots of different colonels at the Pentagon that are sort of having probably differences of opinion about how things should be handled. So, yes, we got statements. Yes, we would have background phone calls. Did anyone sit down and get on camera with us? No, we still are pressing for that, still hope to have that. But the important thing is that the as we say, this sort of injustice was addressed and there were steps taken, put into place, implemented. They will be implemented over the next couple of months. You can go on to the Pentagon's webpage and you can see sort of what you can do. The burden, the obligation of getting status reviewed is not going to be on the veteran as much as it's going to be on the Pentagon. And that's huge.
That's such an important part.
So complicated. Yeah.
You know, you talk about a slap in the face, Jim. Not only do they take the benefits and the honor away from these veterans, but then they say, if you want to change it, it's on you. The burden is on you to make us aware that we need to change your designation.
And we were told a number of times, Randy, it's a simple 2-page application. Yeah. You just fill it out. And then, you know, we were talking to a lawyer who's filed a class action lawsuit, and she said, look, I've been doing this work for decades. I couldn't make sense of the form.
Yeah.
So how's a veteran who's not trained as a lawyer supposed to do this, or have to then hire a lawyer to do this? So, that's an important, very important step that the Pentagon has taken.
Yeah, we're talking to Chief Investigative Correspondent for CBS, Jim Axelrod, here on the National Defense. And, you know, Jim, the other part that Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said, talked about that, which said, while this process can be difficult to navigate, we're working to make it more accessible and efficient. Have they?
Well, so this is why this story is not over. And certainly it's not like we've closed our files. And
I don't think Jim Axelrod ever closes his file.
Well, I will tell you, this is, you know, what we were told is, hey, look, this came together kind of quickly, this commitment to say something. You know, all along we were told, well, there may be a statement, there may not be, there was this dance, how far do you go? And then all of a sudden, they were going to make a statement. I think we were poking around and there was this convenient anniversary. It had been a dozen years since the repeal, so there was a date for them. And so they cobbled together this statement that in large part, honestly, was aspirational. There just wasn't enough time to get the policy mechanisms in place to say, hey, look, here's a detailed, this is how we're going to do it, this is what the mechanism is. But there's a commitment. So now the rubber meets the road, right? Now let's see. Here we are, sort of mid-October, right? What's this going to look like by the end of the year? What's this going to look like, you know, in 6 months? These are very important dates to mark and stages to keep track of. I can tell you, we will certainly be staying on this because it's there's no reason. It was very earnest. There's no reason to doubt. Well, I guess there are a lot of people say, yes, there is reason to doubt. in a way, it was my take on that statement from Secretary Austin was that it was, if you take it at face value, what's the old phrase, trust but verify?
You're right.
If you take it at face value, then it's steps in the right direction, needed steps in the right direction. Now comes the implementation in the weeks and months to come. And as I say to you, this is something that we will be staying on very closely.
Well, Jim, you know, all of these veterans that you talked to, every single one of them had absolutely zero hope that this could be changed. And this group of veterans that have filed a class action lawsuit against the Pentagon to upgrade the veterans' discharge papers, I don't think they would have had, number one, the hope, the optimism, the courage to do that, except for your reporting. And the fact that you shine this spotlight on this group of certainly deserving individuals, I think it did give them some strength in numbers to go out and do something like that.
You know, from the very beginning, like the first interview we did, which is actually more than 9 months ago now, I'll never forget. It was a Navy vet by the name of Amy Lom, and she said, I'm other. I'm other than honorably discharged, meaning I'm other. I'm less than.
Yeah.
And the pain, it was very moving to me to listen to. And one of the last interviews we did prior to this Pentagon announcement, I was speaking with a woman who just said, look, I was willing to die for this country. And I had that willingness, that commitment I was willing to make, I had that taken away from me because of who I love.
Right.
And the pain, as you began to consider how sort of un-American that idea is.
Absolutely.
She was willing to give her life and wasn't even allowed to make that commitment because of who she loves. it is it's just a crippling thought to hold. So, and you would see this, and we would talk, look, there's something that's a very practical. Let's take all the emotion out of it and look at it this way. Okay. There are people in this country who are the best at what they do in skills that keep our nation safe and secure. And they were not allowed to serve. They were not allowed to use those skills on behalf of the United States. They were not allowed to keep us safe simply because of who they love. Now, really, is that smart policy to take the best and the brightest out of the mix of people who can keep us safe and secure simply because of who they love?
Well, and not only is it good, bad policy. It's a question of national security, Jim, because you're getting this less than 1% of the population who have been specifically trained to protect our country, and you're telling them, no, you can't do that.
That's right. That's right. It's look, policy is very important, and it's a defense policy. Human rights they're not mutually exclusive. Right. This is a human rights issue. And you can do right by both. You can have you can strengthen your national security, and you can demonstrate what the highest adherence to human rights are all about in the same stroke. It's
absolutely.
Win-win.
Yeah.
So why weren't we there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the only thing that this could do for the Defense Department now is to make them look fantastic. I mean, I just don't see a downside to this.
I just don't also understand, though, what, you know, here we are 12 years ago. And listen, yeah. we spoke very early on to former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, who was actually the Defense Secretary at the time that the repeal was implemented. And he said, and he was very candid, straightforward. There was no guile. He was not managing the conversation. He was just sharing with us. He said, to be honest, we were so focused on the future in implementing Don't Ask, Don't Tell in a way that would allow our military to continue operating at the highest level. We spent all this time focused on the future. We didn't spend enough time on addressing the past.
Oh, wow.
And that also became the kind of helped frame the story for us. That was one of the first interviews we did with Secretary Panetta, and it helped frame our coverage going forward because it was a question of, okay, 12 years later, I think, you know, you have the policy implemented. So now can we address the past? It was curious to us all along in 2023 why the Pentagon would not talk about this.
Yeah.
And I still don't quite fully understand it other than, as I say, it's a highly political place at the upper levels of the administration of the Defense Department. As you would imagine, but at a certain point, you know, it's an issue that sort of was going to be addressed. It wasn't going to go away, and so I think the Pentagon made their calculation. Let's just get this done.
Isn't it funny though, Jim, how things turn on a dime? I mean, you know, you've got this ongoing investigation, you've got this this deep problem that these veterans are having, and then all of a sudden. Hey, you know what? We're going to fix this, which could have been done, you know, like you said, 12 years ago. But
I was also wondering all along, it seemed like such low-hanging fruit for the Biden administration. Now, it's not like the White House snaps its fingers and the Pentagon follows suit. I mean,
right. There's
a lot of career people over at the Pentagon. But I just kept wondering also, doesn't the White House, aren't they making their own, even if it's a naked political calculation, that with an election coming up, why wouldn't you do something that's not real? What's the other side of that? What calculation makes it even something? Where's the political risk in that? In fact, it only seemed like an upside for the White House to get behind the idea. Because as I say, it was, you know, you're standing up for veterans who've served this country and had access to benefits denied. So it seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, and you talk about the White House, but I mean, how about anybody that's also running for president? I mean, it, you know, this could have been, like you said, the low-hanging fruit that somebody could have done something about or said something about. Nobody even came out and said anything.
But isn't it remarkable? Isn't it just remarkable how quickly and this is just, you know, sort of the way it works with politics and policy in this country. Like, once the Pentagon made that strong statement, once Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said what he said, kind of issue just completely, whatever pressure was building up, the valve was released.
Right.
And now if they follow through, and I guess I get it, that if is in capital I, capital
F. Right.
If they follow through, then an issue that could have been problematic just goes away.
Yeah.
Evaporates.
Yeah. Right, right. And something that you brought to the public that a lot of people did not know about, including myself, you know, this issue did not matter to anybody really but these veterans, and it should have. And it did matter to you, Jim, and you've got to take some great satisfaction in that. And I'm looking forward to the first interview that you have with a veteran who has those benefits restored and who has their honor restored. Man, what a great interview that's going to be.
Well, and it wasn't just me. Our producer, Jessica Kigu, who has been fantastic. She's been a pit bull with lockjaw on this whole thing. And she has dug and did a lot of freedom of information requests. And just she's been just terrific. So I know that she is quite committed to staying on this. And so I promise you, this is not the last time we'll chat either.
Hey, I just want to thank you so much for your updates, Jim. Thank you for everything that you've done with this issue, and we just look forward to hearing the best.
Thanks for having us. We are deeply grateful to your willingness to let us come on and amplify the message, Randy. Thank you, sir.
Great news for our audience. We'll be right back here in the National Defense.